Into hour number two. What's going on? I'm Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Every once in a while, I've got to drop a piece of cheese on you clones. I wish there was a gigantic jungle rat trap when I put that cheese out. Then it could just snap off your tail and you'd be done. Jaime, the phrase beaver-like chompers brings back so many glorious memories. Stephen S.A. See, that's the thing about the show. A number of you have been around here for a long, long time, and you remember what the show was like. You remember what I was like. You remember what the show was like. You remember some of the content. You remember some of the crap that we used to get away with. Crap like that. So I know that for a lot of you old schoolers, OGs, it does bring back amazing memories, right? I mean, that soundbite of me and Mark Grace in 1996, having an actual conversation, and I gave him a homework assignment. You have to come up with somebody to put in the family. He said, oh, I got that, Romy. I got that. George Campbell says, I remember the day you read Beaver-like Chompers on the air. Was driving up the 101 and almost ended up in the Pacific Ocean. Best facts ever. I love that people have likened that to one of those, I remember where I was when that happened moments. You know, like some of the greatest moments in the history of the country. I remember where I was when. I remember where I was when you read the Beaver-like Chompers facts. And I have to keep checking myself. I want to say email, but it was not an email. There was no email back then. It was a fax. Brent in PC. Gaucho Bill is the T.S. Eliot of the jungle. I mean, yes. Fitzgerald, Hemingway, T.S. Eliot, Shakespeare, Raymond Carver, Steinbeck. I mean, whoever you want to compare him to, it's fair. It's accurate. And he was prolific. That was not like some one-off. I mean, that guy would send in long-form faxes every single day, but that was his finest moment. Again, I want to read this to you. This came in the form of a fax. This is what started the entire rat family phenomenon. Quote, all I've seen in the local fish wrap lately are pictures of Selish's rodent face contorting in a most heinous fashion as she prepares to pound the ball back at her horrified human opponent. Her mouth is agape, exposing her beaver-like chompers, while her beady black eyes are riveted on the ball. It's as though the rat girl thinks it's not a tennis ball she's striking, but a cheese ball, and the winner gets all she can eat. Every part of that fax is accurate. It's so true. She did have a rodent face. She looked like a rat. And mostly when she went, and remember, she hit off two hands both sides. Two-handed backhand, two-handed forehand, and she hit the hell out of the ball. And like Andre Agassi, she'd take it on the rise. And she would pound her groundies. Pound them. And when she did, that rodent face did become contorted. He was so right. And in a heinous fashion. And I remember the opposition when she was number one in the world. Before that extremely unfortunate incident where that crazed Steffi Graf fan plunged a knife into her back, Selish's. Before that, when she was number one and she was just pounding groundies deep, like baseline, side to side, I remember looking at the other side of the net and seeing her, quote, horrified human opponent. He's right. And her mouth was agape, and it did expose beaver-like chompers. And she did have beady black eyes, and they were riveted on the tennis ball. But it didn't look like she was looking at a tennis ball. It looked like it was a ball of cheese. Like, everything he said is accurate. Do you have any idea how terrifying and intimidating that must have been? back in the day. Like, I can remember Sabatini, great player, Gabriella Sabatini. Even she looked afraid. Even Steffi. I mean, it was terrifying. Beady black eyes, mouth agape. And you know it's strong, right? I mean, it spawned an entire family. Because what happened after that was people's response generally was along the lines of, you know, she kind of does look like a rat. And the Jim Rome of 2020 would immediately put an end to that. But the Jim Rome of 1995 thought, dude, she does look like a rat. And now that I think about it, there are a lot of other people in sports that look like rats. Human beings that look like rats. You know what we should do? We should put them all in one family together. And that was a good idea for a time. But not anymore. But ever since I tried to make that go away, it's only encouraged you clones. And like I said, the internet is in ink and you cannot scrub it. I've tried. I've had lawyers. I've had internet disciples. I've tried everything I could to make that thing go away. And I can't.
And one glossary entry in the rat family.
And Mark Moda tweets, memory lane, yo. You should get writ to bring his fax machine in from home next week.
Yo.
One for three, C1. I am a current employee of Orkin. Signed, Henry Waxman. Wow. Dude, the Waxer was one of the all-time family members. Whenever the family came up, he was like the patriarch. Google that. Hey, Rome, the city with the biggest rat was usually wherever our ace was pitching that day. Signed, the Seattle Mariners circa 1995 and the Arizona Diamondbacks circa 01. He's talking about the big rat, Randy Johnson.
Hey.
Rome, hey. War Gaucho Bill for providing the most important contribution to the show ever. Damasio, if I was lazy and I was of that mindset, I could put that out in a poll. Beaver Like Chompers, most important jungle contribution ever, or Toby in Houston. But I'm not going to do that. All right, anyway, you've had your fun. I threw it back. We went old school. Let's get back to the program. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Sacramento. Again, that's where this story originated. There was a news report in Sacramento with a local news reporter hyping the fact that Sacramento was climbing the list of rattiest towns. Like, that was something to be proud of. Stoney in Sactown. What's going on, Stoney?
How you doing, Jimmy? Happy Friday to you and the clones out there. Yeah, the news organization that is being quoted there, similar in sports, we have gold, we have silver, we have bronze, then for you clones out there for participation ribbons, and then below that we have KOVR Channel 13 News, in my humble opinion. I think that it's right next door to the wheels and deals that are there, because when you've got to look for the rats that are in Sacramento and have to broadcast that, you might as well just go film Little League Baseball. War the Browns being able to beat the Steelers. Warhawk being able to bring back the mustache. I'm out, Jim.
All right, so that's somebody in Sacramento saying, man, I don't know why we're celebrating this fact. So a couple of quick thoughts about the town of Sacramento. Sacramento is a really important town to us here in the jungle. The jungle, I could even argue the jungle may not be what the jungle is right now without the support of Sacramento. Sacramento has been enormous for this show. It's one of our most important markets. And by the way, it's not the cow town that a lot of you think it is. When I was in Santa Barbara, we were market number 179 or 174. So imagine when I got my start in radio, and again, the world was very different. You know this. There was not an internet. There was not a podcast. There was not a cell phone. There were just markets, and there were radio stations, and there were TV stations. So when I came through Santa Barbara in the 1980s, that was market number 179. There were a lot of really talented young broadcasters in that town. And with the exception of a few people, nobody wanted to stay in a town like that. That's where you started. You went to Santa Barbara, you got your start, and then you moved on. And I could chronicle this if I had time. I could tell you that the people that made it out of Santa Barbara and became national figures in the media. It's pretty impressive. But one of the markets that we all tried to get to was Sacramento. Sacramento was a really, really good media market, a really well thought of media market, a much bigger market than the one that we were currently working in. In fact, a number of my colleagues and friends went from Santa Barbara to Sacramento. And I remember thinking, damn, that is such a good move, man. That is a big market. That's a good move. I would love to make that move. So it's not a case of, man, that is just some backwards little cow town. Sacramento is not that, and especially from a media standpoint. So the fact that they had a TV station that was celebrating the fact that they moved up in the rattiest town rankings, that's kind of curious. But it did give us a chance to throw it back, didn't it? And a number of you are like, man, this is a good time. Some jungle nostalgia. Let's go to Woodlands, Texas. JC, hey, one quick reminder. Big Head Betts coming up next segment. James Kelly. JC in Texas. JC, what's up?
Good morning, Tim. On such a nostalgic week, I'm a first-time, long-time listener, first-time caller. Just want to tell you thank you so much for all you've done over the years. I used to listen to you back in Austin in the late 90s and then here in Houston. Having John in C-Town call this week and then replaying the Monkey demo tape was unreal. And I remember that little showdown with Dickie down here in Houston back in the day. But just wanted to tell you thank you so much. Congratulations on a well-deserved Hall of Fame. I want to talk about the Astros real quick, Jim. Last night, Correa, that was amazing. Now, that being said, obviously we can't talk about them or think about them without knowing what happened. As you always say, having or saying something sucks is not a take. But everything that happened with the Astros, it just sucks, man. You know, those are our guys. That was our team. A lot of us waited our whole lives for that first World Series championship. And when everything came out, it kind of broke our hearts, no doubt about it. That being said, they're still our guys, man. That's our team. And to see us battling the way we are on the field, almost certainly we haven't done everything right as far as contrition off the field. But we're playing hard, we're battling, and I hope we keep it up. Jim, thanks again so much for all of your work. Keep it up, and for Houston. Thanks, Jim.
JC, my brother, truly, I appreciate that call very much. That's somebody who goes way back to the 90s, who has never called the show before, but has been listening and said, hey, I really appreciate the throwback to memory lane or the nostalgic rollback on memory lane. He mentioned John in C-Town. John in C-Town did call yesterday. First time in a long time, another famous, famous figure on the program. And then, I mean, if John in C-Town calls, there's no way we don't do what we did. And he's right. JC understood that bit. He remembered the bit. That morphed into this. My man was so great. John in C-Town, he was so loyal. Still is. But back then, he would have fought anybody, anywhere, who had anything negative to say about the show. In a more contemporary sense, I made the point that if you think John in New York loves me, if you think John in New York loves me, John in C-Town wants a piece of that. Go ahead and hold my beer. Man, my man John in C-Town was fierce. So he made a call yesterday. I thought that what he just said about the Astros was really interesting, that, yeah, man, we wanted this so badly, and then it happened, and then we found out how it happened, and it broke our heart, but they're still our guys, and they're still coming. Hey, Snag. All right, now this guy also, super old school, Scott in the Bay, super old school. Snag, love the Rat Family stories, and that was such a pain in the ass back in the day, sending the fax. War Dark Gable, having the patience. Scott in the Bay, wore the Dodgers, last title being when faxes were relevant and half the audience was not even alive. Now, Scott in the Bay is another famous, famous jungle figure. Scott in the Bay would send me faxes. He'd hit me up on the TV show back in the day. I mean, this feels good. I'm kind of having fun with a Nostalgia Friday. Anybody else? I can think of people literally. And when I think of the old school, I think about like Silk, Trapper, Iray. But I can think about people that go back as far as them, or if not further, that stopped calling. I can remember the first people who called this show in 1991 when I got on the air. And we were only in San Diego. Adam and PB. Cece. War Lady Clones. She was an amazing caller. Cecilia. Cece. And she could talk so much junk. She was great. So if you've got any thoughts, if you want to throw it back, that was not my plan today. And it's not going to be the entire show. I've got a lot more things I want to get to. But that story about the rattiest towns in America kind of jump-started this whole thing. And do better than the incident. Do better than Everett. If you want to talk about things that happened back in the day, be a little more original than that. Like Scott in the Bay talking about the fax machine, how hard it was to get through back then. You know what that must have been like? Like, imagine millions of people listening and trying to get through on one single fax machine. How frustrating must that have been? The Smack God tweets, Sacktown native here. Ain't too many cows, but the rats are out of pocket. Had to buy a damn cat. True story. Penguin 488. Lunch with a monkey. Rat family. Is this a look back week? Again, it was organic. You never know when John in C-Town's going to call. Nor do I know when there's going to be a story dropping about the rattiest towns in the country. It's all organic. Sometimes, like I come with a plan every single day. I've got a blueprint every single day. But sometimes you just have to follow the show. And it is organic. All right, so the way it sets up now, Troy Reader, top of the hour. Richard Jefferson right after that. Alvin's Ionic Week that was right after that. The ATP in and around that. But when we come back, Big Head Bets. Omaha! James Kelly, the flight deck. He is on a heater. He's got picks for the NFL weekend. I'm sure he'll weigh in on Georgia-Bama. And maybe some baseball. All of that is coming up with our weekly installment of Big Head Bets, and that's next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I mentioned, this is not something that I set out to do. Like, hey, man, let's do something fun on a Friday. Let's throw it back. Let's get nostalgic with it. It's just organic. John in C-Town called yesterday. And then there was a story about the rattiest towns in America. And you clones were all about that and all up in my mentions. And that brought back a reset of the Rat Family, which spawned some other things. So, no, this was not my intention. It's organic. I'm just kind of following the show around. So if you want to talk about something from back in the day, if you're feeling kind of nostalgic, if you want to take a stroll down memory lane, you can do so. You can do so. But before we do that, it is time for our weekly installment of Big Head Bets. We need like some sounder. That'll work. XR4TIer. James Kelly. He's got a really big head. And he likes to bet. Hence the name of the segment, Big Head Bets. He looks over the weekend sports landscape. He decides how it is he wants to get down. He shares his insight with you, and you get paid. We do this with a fake bankroll and for entertainment purposes only.
Everybody get down.
It's too bad, right? Because given this guy's on-air record this season in the NFL against the spread, 13-6-1. If we were rolling with real dough, we'd all be rolling in real dough. So let's not waste any time. I mean, are you not entertained? If you're not, you will be as I welcome in the one, the only flight deck, James Kelly. What's up, head?
Jim, I think I'd rather talk about Gaucho Bill and Zane Smith and the Rat Family more than gambling right now.
Zane Smith, I'd forgotten about him. Are there any others that you want to mention from the family that I left out besides Zane Smith?
A famous college basketball coach, but I won't go there.
Don't. Please don't. Please don't. All right, so I'm making an appearance on the NFL on CBS this Sunday. One of my topics for that show, Big Head, is the Pac versus the Bucks, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And I've got thoughts on that matchup myself and what that means. You, of course, though, are coming at it from a totally different angle. Packers -1 at Tampa. Rarely do you ever see Tom Brady as a dog at home, but he is in this case. Who do you like and why?
So rare is right on that, Jim. And when Brady is at home dog, he's actually 9-1 against the spread as the home dog. But I'm going to hit the pack here, and I'm going to give up a point. I'm going to Aaron Rodgers, man. He's coming off a bye, and coming off a bye, he's actually the league's most profitable quarterback. He's 8-2-1 with an extra week of rest in the regular season for his career. And this year, he's thrown for 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's playing the best ball of his life, over 300 yards a game. Now, that's how you attack this Bucs D, too. And I still think they could probably run a little bit against this Bucs D with Aaron Jones. He's playing great ball, and the Bucs are now missing Vita Vea, which is a massive, massive loss. I think Brady still puts up some points for the Packers. He should have his weapons back, but Aaron Rodgers also has his weapons back. And if this game was played in the playoffs, I might change my mind. I still think the Bucs have a Super Bowl talent, but the injury with Vea might change that in the long run. I'm riding the Packers on Sunday. They are a perfect 4-0 against the spread, the only perfect team in the NFL, and I think they get 5-0. Packers -1.
Are you sure you don't want to spend five more minutes on that game?
Oh, dude, it's a great game. It's better than the other one.
I can tell. All right, listen, I've got thoughts on that too, but I'm going to hold them until Sunday when I appear on the NFL on CBS. But for right here and right now, you've got the big head, Packers -1. All right, now Vikings v. Falcons. James, pretty ugly-looking game, but this ain't a beauty contest. It's business. It's just entertainment. And they are going to play, and there is going to be a line. In fact, that line is Vikings -3.5. The Falcons cleaned house, firing their coach, firing their GM. How do you think the Falcons are going to respond on the field?
I don't think they will at all. I'm going to lay the 3.5 and take the home team Vikings here, Jim. The Falcons' strength is their passing offense. And you'd think they'd expose the Vikings' young corners, but they didn't look good against Carolina without Julio Jones, and I'd be surprised if Julio goes this week with his hammy, and this team is going
for... What are you, a doctor now?
Fail clown.
The Falcons' secondary is also beat to hell, and the Vikings have two wideouts in Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson that they should expose them there, and plus the Vikings' run game is unstoppable right now. They don't have Dalvin Cook, but it doesn't really matter. It's a plug and play right now. Alexander Mattison should go off. They ran him for over 200 yards against Seattle in that run defense. And this stat too, Mike Zimmer as a non-divisional home favorite is 19-4-1 against the spread. I like the Vikings -3.5 at home. Hit the Vikings.
Dude, who are you, Rain Man? Hey, what time is Wapner on? How many matches in that matchbox? Dude, you're incredible. All right, so it's a good thing that that's not a beauty contest and that you've taken all the emotion out of it. Why else would you give a damn, Flight Deck, about Detroit and Jacksonville? But I know you do. Lions are -3 at Jacksonville. Who you got there, and why do you like that game?
Well, I like it because Jacksonville is so bad. I mean, I'm not going to watch it probably, but I can still make fake money off of it, Jim.
No, we do this for entertainment purposes only, remember?
That's right. That's why it's fake. So I'm going to take the team who has won two games of their last 17 in the Lions, -3 at Jacksonville. The Jags defense is banged up, man. They're not very good. When they're healthy, the offseason changes when they got rid of all that talent is really rare in its ugly head. Their pass D is allowing the league's 31st worst passer rating. They allowed over 75.8% of their passes against opposing quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson lit him up. Matthew Stafford is better than everybody thinks he is, and so is Kenny Galladay. Galladay is very, very good, and this Watson team has played much better with him in the lineup.
Galladay?
Expect both of them to go off. -3.5 Lions.
All right, so let me give you a matchup, Deck, that I think is sort of interesting, actually. The Bears +2 at the Panthers. I think Matt Rhule is doing an amazing job with the Panthers. And while I don't understand why, I'm also fascinated in your fascination with all things the Chicago Bears. Clarify that spread for me. What is it and who do you have?
So it's 2 right now, but I hit this on Sunday at +3 for the Bears. Dude, the Matt Rhule thing is real. The Teddy Bridgewater thing is, he might be the best quarterback against the spread ever. And stats might back that up, actually. But
I am going Chicago.
That's
I
a great line right there. Is that true? What are the numbers? He's the best quarterback against the spread ever?
Yeah, in the Super Bowl era, I believe. I don't know. I got the exact one, but it, I mean, he had last year for the Saints, and I mean, the guy covers at a high rate against the spread. So,
what do you like in that game? Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Chicago. Their pass defense is one of the league's best, and Khalil Mack right now is he's heating up, dude.
Dude, how about this? Ritt just weighed in, and maybe you heard Ritt. He had his own segment earlier this week.
Game on.
Ritt just weighed in and says that Bridgewater is 30-9 against the spread.
Bring it on.
See, there you go. At least he didn't kill Teddy Bridgewater like he did Tom Hanks, but, I mean, cool.
James Kelly's so quick.
Tom Hanks went belly up as well. So.
All right, so the biggest game. Well done, Head. Well done. Biggest game of the college football season might be tomorrow. Number 2, Bama, going up against number 3, Georgia. Really quickly, I want your thoughts. Bama without Nick Saban, what are you doing with that game?
So this has changed now, Jim. It was +6.5 for Georgia earlier in the week. I hit that then. It's changed now to -4.5 for Bama because of the Saban news. I just think the Bulldogs' defense is good. It should slow the Alabama offense, and nobody can stop that offense. I mean, it's damn good with Mac Jones and all the weapons that he's got. But Georgia does have a lot of talent. Without Saban, I'll take the Bulldogs +6.5.
Okay, I like that. Listen, before you go, what about baseball? I know you. I know you, Deck. I know you like to get in and bet in-game, like with the NBA. I know you like to get in and bet in the middle of a series. And I know your plays. I know you're contrarian. I know what you do. Did you try to get a piece of the Dodgers when they were down 2-0?
Well, I looked at it, and I think I had better odds, so I didn't hit it. But right now, Jim, you can get, for all the Dodger fans out there that still believe, you could get +475 for them to win the World Series right now.
Would you?
Still believe.
Would you?
If I didn't know the closer for the other team, yes, I would probably hit that.
Okay, so now the closer for the other team, of course, is Mark Melancon. Dude, tell the story again. You really coached this guy in Little League?
Yeah, man. Lifelong friends. Carnation Bowl champions, 1998. He was a quarterback.
Yeah, but you coached him in baseball, though, not football.
Nah, football. Yeah, he quit after that and went to baseball. Maybe I didn't have a very good effect on him, but, you know.
Yeah, but you've had an amazing effect on the Clones, though, and you've provided them lots of opportunities to get paid or be entertained. James Kelly, the Flight Deck, big head bets. Nice job, Flight Deck. Thank you very much. Let's see if you can keep this thing going. That is the Flight Deck. See what he did to Ritt? When I said Ritt, hey, Ritt jumped in to back up your take with the stat. The Teddy Bridgewater was 30-9 against the spread, and the Flight Deck quickly deadpans. At least he didn't kill him.
Tom Hanks went belly up as well, so...
All right, so I've got some reaction also. Again, this was not my intent. I didn't come in here on Friday and say, hey, Hawk, what can we do? What can we do to have a little fun? I know. Let's throw it back. Let's do a trip down memory lane. Let's have some nostalgia radio. It just kind of happened. But people are reacting to it, and it's fun. If there's something you want to say or something you want to flash back to or throw it back to, go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Or just tweet it at Jim Rome or email it at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. My thanks to the Deck. Next hour is a busy hour. I've got Troy Reader of the Rams coming up the top. I've got Richard Jefferson right after that. Alvin's been jamming hard on his week that was. I've got an ATP. I want to talk about Houston. Daryl Morey is stepping down. James Harden's got some new shoes, and as you might expect, they're really ugly. All of that's coming up. But first, here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Grainger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop on by. All right, again, I want to talk about Houston and what's gone on this past week there as it relates to not only the Astros, but the Rockets and James Harden and his kicks and more. but we're just kind of throwing it back. We're having a good time on a Friday. It just happened. And there were a lot of people, because the show within the show is always a thing, and there's such a culture to the show, and I've done this thing long enough, there's a lot of you that go back. There's a number of you who grew up with the program. There's a number of you who had kids and then passed the show on to the kids. So we're having a lot of people calling up and saying, hey, Rome, one of my favorite things is, or one of my favorite times was, and a lot of that reaction, like this, Flounder. Oh, one more thing. The email is down today because 2020, because I don't know, it just is. So if you normally email the program and you want to take part, hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. I'm not going to get the email. It's down. Flounder tweets, the word agape made another appearance when Jim in Fall River referenced one Andrew Pettit's goat-like eyes. One of the best calls ever.
For the love of God, would you networks please curtail the amount of extreme close-ups on one Andrew Pettit? I watched the playoffs last year. It's like every time this guy started, the camera crew shot the game like it's some kind of David Lynch movie with the camera zoomed 4 inches from Pettit's nostrils. It's like 36 times in a 7-inning span you hear the announcer remark on the intense stare of Andy. Andy in his zone of concentration. Andy with the eyes of a competitor. No. Let me help the novice baseball fan that only tunes in for the playoffs, okay? Andy Pettit pitches with his mouth again. And he has the eyes of a goat, okay? I give him credit. He's a mean lefty. He's got a wicked sinker. But just because he glares at Posada like he's trying to burn a hole through Jorge's eyebrows with his mind doesn't necessarily mean he's any more focused than the other 8 a-holes wearing pinstripes on the field.
It's an amazing phone call. An amazing call. Not only does that hold up, that'd be one of the great calls of this year. Except that call was made in 2002. That call is almost 20 years old.
It's two for me.
You talk about a call holding up. Jim in Fall River. Rex in the ABQ wants in. Rex says, Jim, I'm loving the jungle nostalgia segment, but I'm thinking Willie and KC and Horseface love it even more.
Hey, John, time to meet Mr. Rome. Giddy up, Horseface. Come on, girl.
Willie and KC talking about John Elway. Giddy up, Horseface. Time to meet Mr. Rome.
Hey, John. Time to meet Mr. Rome. Giddy up, Horseface. Come on, girl.
I like how he makes his universal horse sound, too. Giddy up, Horseface. Squirrel
up,
2
horseface.
Tweets, you can't talk about John in C-Town without also talking about the tandem call with Trapper and John in C-Town. A legendary jungle moment.
I think the other clone, my brother, I don't know, Mom's not let him out of the closet yet, but season's greetings to you, Jimmy. Only 6 shopping days left to Christmas, obviously a Republican Christmas.
Yeah, bitch. I mean, what are you, the Grinch, the Scrooge, or just another whiny freaking Democrat trapper?
Here we go. Well, at least when Santa says ho, 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 pal, you know, Catherine Harris doesn't dive into his lap. In hell, I don't know, man. At least my party has people. They have corpses voting. That's not as bad as when you elect them. Your party elects them in South Carolina. Happy birthday, Strom. Was 98 this week.
Hey, you know, at least take a stab trip at having a sports take.
This was a regrettable decision by both of them. They made a tandem call to the program once.
Football. Why'd you come out here?
Let's see here. G-Man tweets, sad I missed lunch with the monkey. Old school day would not suck. Thanks, Greg and Bugaha, non-Husker. Sean Beasy, he tweets, old school jungle, the Poncho and Tyrone day was awesome. That was amazing. Yeah, I'll leave that at that. James Ford, how about the fabulous sports blob, Netcar, and the left turn only league was the best too. I never referred to Nancy as that. She was like a legend. Great talk show host. But some of you clones did what you did, right? Phoenix Tree Rodent, get the Roach and Scrooge to call in. Dr. Dre Nocow tweets, where is Stu in Manhattan? Carl tweets, old school sponsors. I won a death stick for Facts of the Day, and I had to endure Bang commercials. No, you didn't. You're just going off what I've told you before about Bang. You didn't have to. Those spots ran like maybe one day. Maybe. Joseph Bryant. I recall you interviewing Jose Lima time back in the Enron Field days, and also a caller complaining about the sound system at a tour stop, making you sound like the teacher from Charlie Brown. Great times. Drew tweets, Van Smack, how can you not mention Patty and Modesto if you're going down memory lane? Were you resetting the analogy you gave years ago, Raider fan and drunk deadbeat dads? It's amazing to me what you remember, what some of you will remember. Matthew Zimmerman tweets, just waiting for the reads of Dark Gable faxes. The Del Harris, that's whack. And some old phone calls from circa 1996, screaming Mike. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Just kind of getting nostalgic with it, throwing it back. Let's go to Sacramento. Mitch in Sacramento. What's going on, Mitch? How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you today?
Good. Great.
I was just calling up. This nostalgia thing was cool. And I was just calling to say that I might be one of the few callers or people that gets to know you as both the coupon guy and the sports guy. Because I've been listening to you since the 1980s when you were on KTMS radio in Santa Barbara. And I remember driving to UCSB one day going to school, and I called you and got bought a 2-for-1 coupon from Harry's Plaza Cafe.
That is so good. Mitch, I appreciate you, bro. That is a great reset right there. All right, so the story that he tells is true. When I was in Santa Barbara, I worked for a news talk station, KTMS, and they had this thing on in the middle of the day called the Radio Mall. The Radio Mall was the radio version of the Home Shopping Network before the Home Shopping Network existed. Like, it did not exist. There was no such thing. But what they used to do on the Radio Mall is they would go to local sponsors and they would get coupons. He just called me the coupon guy. And Harry's Plaza Cafe is a famous restaurant in Santa Barbara. So what they would do is they would do a deal with the restaurant and a bunch of other products that nobody gave a damn about. But that restaurant was great, is great. And they would get you like $15 worth of restaurant script, and you could buy it for 10 bucks. It was a coupon. So the guy who ran the radio station said to me one day, hey, listen, we're losing that host. It was on the middle of the day. You're doing it. I said, the hell I am. He said, oh, no, you're doing it. You are the new host. Because I was doing really well in sports, and I was developing a following. And the guy says to me, you're doing the show. You are hosting the show. There is a female host, and you are going to co-host it with her. I said, I'm not doing that crap, all right? That show is garbage, man. I've got integrity. I'm not doing that. He said, oh, you're doing it, all right. I said, listen to me. I am not doing your Radio Mall. He said, you're doing it or you're fired. I'm like, when do I start? So I start doing the Radio Mall. And the only thing about the Radio Mall was they incentivized me. I got a commission. I got a commission on everything I sold. So I go on, and I'm trying not to have a bad attitude about it. But I pop on in the middle of the day, and I start selling restaurant script and whatever other garbage they have. But then after I did it for 1 month, I got my first check, my commission check. It was half my base, half of my entire base. I walk in this guy's office. I'm like, dude, can we extend this show an hour? Can I do this instead of sports? This is incredible. So that guy's right. I was the, quote, coupon guy. I got pretty damn good at that. And I started to like that. Until I got to 690 AM and then they made me do a bunch of commercials I didn't want to do. That guy's throwing it way back. KTMS Radio. That's where I got my start. Doing the Radio Mall at 12 noon. Let's go to Tampa. Miguel in Tampa. Miguel, what's going on? How are you?
How you doing, Jim?
Good, good. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing great. If I sound a little nervous, it's because I am. This is my very first time calling in many years that I've been listening to your show since I came here to the United States back in 1990.
Wow,
did not know the language. Didn't have the courage to call you. Didn't know enough English to do so. But anyway, I'm calling in regards to a friend. Well, we call him a friend because we all know him in the Dominican Republic. I'm from the Dominican Republic, and I'm referring to Jose Lima.
Great.
A person that I know that you hold very close to your heart. I happened to be there a few years ago. It had to be a couple of years before he passed. It had to be 2007, 2008. And I was in a local venue where there was a local band that we all know what they sing and we know who sings it. But that time, the voice did not sound familiar. So I got close to the stage, and there he was, Mr. Jose Lima, directing the band, asking people what you guys want to hear. And I just screamed out, how about Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses? He looked at me straight in the face and says, you are a clone. If you are a friend of Jim Rome, you're welcome to my table. Make long story short, we spent about 15, 20 minutes with the guy. Couldn't be more gracious. He wanted me to get on stage and talk to everybody about you and how important you were and how important he was to be in your show. He had nothing but love and a lot of respect for you, and I just wanted to share that story with you.
Miguel, my man, that is such an amazing story. I appreciate you so much, Miguel. That is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. How about Miguel saying, I came from the Dominican and I did not know the language. I've never called you. I learned the language, my second language, and he just tells an amazing story. That was so cool.
It's Lima time, baby.
Oh, listen to that voice. Man, I loved Jose Lima. One of my favorite athletes ever. I loved Jose Lima. And Jose Lima loved the jungle. And the jungle loved Lima time. Hit me with one more Lima time. That trapper it's John Lima in C-Town tandem call was back in 2000. All right, when we come back, hour number three, a conversation with Troy Reeder and then Richard Jefferson. And more of this. Stay tuned.